The Mediterranean coastline. It's known the world over as the ultimate summer destination for the rich and famous. But many less privileged see these warm waters as the only gateway to a better future in Europe. More than 1 million refugees have made the desperate journey in the last 5 years. By sea and by land. Risking it all. Not everyone makes it. For those that do, many feel forgotten, often left for months on end, if not years, in camps, waiting for an answer to their asylum process. But there is another side to this story, that of the communities that host them. Many say they feel forgotten too, left to deal with a problem that Europe doesn't want. Their concerns ignored. A one-sided tragedy, they say, that actually has two. The shores of the Greek island of Lesbos have been the landing point for refugees for decades. In recent years, it's become home to the overpopulated Moria refugee camp, Europe's largest, infamous for its squalid conditions. It burnt down in September, and it's not clear what caused it. But the Greek migration minister called it an unprecedented humanitarian crisis.
I'm Stephanie Decker on the island of Lesbos. These life jackets and deflated dinghies are a reminder of the mass influx of people that started here 5 years ago, and the fact that they remain very much a symbol that this is an issue that remains unresolved. On this edition of Talk to Al Jazeera in the Field, we'll be speaking with a local community, asking how they feel. How have years of hosting thousands and thousands of refugees and migrants affected this island? And we'll be asking what's next after Europe's biggest refugee camp burned to the ground.
The world took note of this refugee crisis when they started arriving along this coast in huge numbers. Molvos is on the northern part of the island, just a few kilometers away from Turkey, and this is the island's main tourist destination.
In 2015, when it all happened, you were on the front line, let's say.
Yeah, exactly that. So. This is my family's hotel, and if you turn, you know, in this direction, that this is the taverna of the hotel. So in 2015, suddenly we had the arrival of refugee boats exactly here on the beach. This was the beginning of something that we had no idea was coming our way. Slowly, this one boat reached one boat a day, one boat every couple of hours, and we finally came up to the number of 8 boats a day arriving exactly here on the beach. So that was around 400 to 450 people. Wow. Coming to our beach. At the same time, we had our hotel that was running. It was 100% full, which means our hotel, its full capacity is around 115, 120 people. So you can imagine how we were trying to balance running a business, keeping everyone safe, making everyone feel that everything was under control. And at the same time, we had to deal with it on a personal level because we were trying to understand what was going on, why was this happening. Another thing that we started witnessing with the experience that we obtained is how the whole refugee crisis shifted. And it wasn't just the arrival of refugees anymore coming onto our beaches, because in the beginning, it was definitely Syrian families. And slowly, we saw within the same boat, there were people from other countries as well, such as Afghanistan. Then it was from Pakistan, Iran, Iraq. Throughout the summer, towards the end of summer, we started seeing the arrival of people coming from the African continent. It suddenly became a route that was for human trafficking. It was people leaving their countries in search of a better place somewhere else. And they were all landing here on an island that itself has only 80,000 population, and at a time where suddenly Europe woke up and started putting up their own borders towards us and leaving the people dumped here on the island. So we felt that we became the scapegoat of the European Union and of Greece itself, because not only did the European Union put up walls to us, but Greece itself, the mainland, put up walls to the islands of the North Aegean Sea that were having boats landing, such as Lesbos, Chios, Samos, Leros. They weren't allowing the refugees to leave the islands to go further on.
It seems to me, speaking to many, many islanders, that their narrative seems to have been forgotten. Your story seems to have been forgotten because the media only really focuses on the refugee and the migrant issue, particularly now Moria burnt down. How have people been affected by it? Has perception changed from the islanders towards this issue? In the beginning, you were taking people in. Now, how do you feel about it?
We feel distraught, angry. The feelings that we feel are, it's like an internal turmoil that's very hard to deal with. It's boiling within us. Because in 2016, when we were yelling for help, our voices were not heard. We were not included in any kind of discussions in order to provide a solution as to what was taking place on the island. We had the arrival of all these NGOs also on the island that did not even take into consideration that there was a local community that was living here already, and that their actions may in fact be affecting someone negatively. It's important to stress that when NGOs arrive somewhere, they come to provide assistance to the local community that is dealing with some kind of crisis. In our case here, we had the arrival of a third party onto our island, which are the refugees and the migrants themselves, the arrival of NGOs that came to do what they always did, to provide assistance to people who needed help. But no one took into consideration that there was a local population living and thriving here for many, many years from antiquity, and suddenly we were bypassed and ignored. Not only were we ignored, but we were judged over and over again and labeled as being racist, as being fascists, when we were raising our concerns and yelling for our own government and for the EU to open up their eyes and to see what was going on here and to provide assistance, to provide us with compensation. And no one was listening.
Do you feel abandoned?
Definitely. For sure we feel abandoned. Now, to be fair, our government for the first time has shown signs that they are finally listening to us, it seems. In February, we had an uprising of the local community against the government that wanted to come in and build a closed camp on the island. But this was going to take place without a significant number of refugees having been taken off the island to begin with. So when we are talking about Lesbos Island with a population of 80,000 people and a population of around 25 to 28,000 refugees, migrants on the island, not on the island, in the location of Moria, as a result, when we hear that another closed camp was going to be created on the island, it was the only thing expected that the entire island would unite and not allow this to happen. We had enough. So in February, we had this uprising, and then this led to now Moria being burnt down. And for sure, now the EU must pay attention as to what is taking place here. Because people will start clashing with each other. You will have locals against locals, locals against refugees, refugees against locals, refugees against refugees.
How has it affected you and your family? Does it still affect you?
It's something that it is a weight. Sorry.
Take your time.
Apparently, yes. It is a weight that we will take with us to our grave. Yes, we've been affected to the point that it suffocates us. So we've not only been affected psychologically, we've been affected financially, where we feel this insecurity. We don't know if our business will exist for a year or two from now. I don't know where the future will bring my children.
suppose it's the burning down of Moria has put it back into the international spotlight, right? People are debating it again.
What we have learned from this is something that's taking place that seems to us so far away in a different part of the world is actually much closer than what we realize, because it may be taking place, a war in the Middle East or drought on the African continent, but something that's taking place there may one day actually reach your very doorstep, as it did with us.
Right on their doorstep is exactly what happened to Moria Village. The refugee camp was named after the village. People here feel their narrative forgotten and replaced by that of the asylum seekers. Barbed wire and alarm systems protect every house, an unexpected sight on a Greek island. People here have become so frustrated with the situation and the media that they rarely give interviews. We managed, after weeks and much back and forth, to convince one of them to talk to us.
Describe to me what it's been like living next to the camp for you here as villagers. What's it been like?
Μια κόλαση. Με δύο λέξεις. Είναι πάρα πολλά τα χρόνια. Έχουμε περάσει πάρα πολλές δυσκολίες όλα αυτά τα χρόνια. Όλο το χωριό γενικά. Είναι μια κόλαση.
Describe to me a little bit about what it was like. What are the issues that you faced here that you described it as hell? Like, give us an example of what it was like.
Κοιτάξτε να δείτε. Τα προβλήματα ήταν πάρα πολλά. Να ξεκινήσουμε από τις κλεψιές των ζώων. Δεν έμεινε σε όλη την περιοχή, στην ευρύτερη περιοχή, δεν έμεινε ζωντανό. Από πρόβατα, από κοτόπουλα, από κατσίκες, από οτιδήποτε που έχει σχέση με το ζωικό κόσμο. Να σας πω την καταστροφή του Ελαιώνα. Τέτοια καταστροφή δεν έχω ακούσει από κανέναν. Δηλαδή, όσο χρονών είμαι, από μεγαλύτερους ανθρώπους, δεν έχει ξαναγίνει τέτοια καταστροφή που έγινε εδώ πέρα. Καταστράφηκε όλος ο Ελαιώνας. Ο Ελαιώνας, παιδιά, έχει αναθρέψει οικογένειες, έχει σπουδάσει παιδιά. Όλα αυτά καταστραφήκαν μέσα σε μια πενταετία. Τι να σας πω άλλο. Και πόσα άλλα πράγματα, τα οποία, εντάξει, δεν έρχονται και αυτή τη στιγμή στο μυαλό. Μεγάλη καταστροφή.
Just driving around the village now, we noticed a lot of barbed wire on the houses, systems of alarm, dogs, which I thought was quite unusual for a small village on an island. Why is that?
Κοιτάξτε, να ξεκινήσουμε από τα σκυλιά. Δεν υπάρχει σπίτι στην ευρύτερη περιοχή που να μην έχει σκυλιά. Πρώτα απ' όλα για προστασία. Τα σειρματοπολέγματα που βλέπετε, αναγκάστηκε ο κόσμος να περιφρουρήσει τα σπίτια του με αυτόν τον τρόπο, διότι τα σπίτια ήταν καθημερινά, τα καταπατούσαν, μπαίναν μέσα. Ανοίγαν σε ανυποψία στο χρόνο, πιστεύω ότι βλέπαν τις κινήσεις των ιδιοκτητών σε καθημερινή βάση, γιατί είχαν όλο τον χρόνο να κινηθούν, να παρακολουθήσουν, να κάνουν, γιατί όλη μέρα γυρίζανε μέσα στο χωριό. Ψάχναν, βλέπαν ποιος φεύγει, πώς φεύγει, και κατευθείαν μπαίναν μέσα και λαιλατούσαν. Γι' αυτό το λόγο ο καθένας προσπαθούσε να προστατευτεί, να προστατέψει την οικογένειά του, τα παιδιά του, να προστατευτεί και μακάρι και ο ίδιος.
Who do you blame for this situation? Do you feel that this village you have had to deal with something that has had nothing to do with you?
Δεν είμαι εγώ αυτός που θα μπορέσω να κατηγορήσω κάποιον, αλλά πιστεύω ότι η διαχείριση δεν έγινε σωστά από ψηλά, από τις κυβερνήσεις. Δεν νομίζω ότι η διαχείριση δεν έγινε από έναν απλό πολίτη του χωριού. Η διαχείριση, πιστεύω, έχει γίνει από ψηλά, από τις κυβερνήσεις. Τώρα, Ευρωπαϊκή Ένωση είναι αυτή. Η κυβέρνηση της Ελλάδος. Από κάπου πάντως πηγάζει αυτό το πράγμα. Δεν ξέρω πού ακριβώς είναι, αλλά πιστεύω ότι η διαχείριση δεν έχει γίνει σωστά. Αν γινόταν σωστή διαχείριση για όλο αυτό το μεταναστευτικό, ίσως να ήταν και καλύτερα τα πράγματα. Και για τους χωριανούς και για το νησί ολόκληρο, αλλά και για τους ανθρώπους αυτούς. Γιατί και αυτοί οι άνθρωποι αυτή τη στιγμή, το πώς βρίσκονται εδώ, καλός ή κακός, εντάξει, αυτή τη στιγμή βρίσκονται. Οι συνθήκες που ζουν και για αυτούς είναι απαράδεκτες. Δεν ξέρω, τα χρήματα είναι πάρα πολλά τα οποία είναι τα συμφέροντα τέτοια και γίνεται όλη αυτή η κατάσταση. Νομίζω είναι και αυτός ένας λόγος που είναι τα χρήματα πάρα πολλά, παίζονται πάρα πολλά χρήματα. Το οποίο είναι τα συμφέροντα πολύ μεγάλα και ίσως γι' αυτό γίνεται και ό,τι γίνεται.
Has there been a benefit to their presence at all? I mean, some people will say that some businesses are making money. How do you see, is there anything good that the island has benefited from, let's say, from their presence?
Για κάποιες επιχειρήσεις ήταν καλό. Τώρα, στην ευρύτερη περιοχή, εκεί κοντά που υπήρχαν κάποιες επιχειρήσεις, εντάξει, βγάλανε χρήματα, γιατί πουλούσαν πράγματα από υλικά, από φαγόσιμα, από οτιδήποτε είναι. Και πολλές άλλες επιχειρήσεις, από ενοικιαζόμενα που κινηθήκαν με τα ΜΚΟ κτλ. Αλλά δεν μπορεί όμως να υποφελούνται 10, 15, 20 πόσοι θα είναι αυτοί και οι υπόλοιποι 100 να έχουν καταστραφεί. Το χωριό Ημόρια ήταν ένα κεφαλοχώρι. Ήταν ένα χωριό που ήταν φιλήσυχοι άνθρωποι, δεν δημιουργούσαν προβλήματα, δεν είχαν τέτοιες έννοιες μες στο κεφάλι τους. Από τη στιγμή που ήρθαν οι άνθρωποι αυτοί εδώ, καλός ή κακός, ήρθαν. Η διαχείριση δεν ήταν, όπως σας είπα και προηγουμένως, η σωστή. Όταν αρχίσαν τα προβλήματα να μπαίνουν στο σπίτι, το δικό σου, το δικό μου, του καθεμιανού κάθε μέρα, να κλέβουν τα ζώα τα δικά μου, τα δικά σου, να λαιλατούν κάθε μέρα. Λογικό είναι, ρε παιδιά, ότι ο κόσμος κάποια στιγμή άρχισε να κανακτάει. Αλλά ουδέποτε δεν είναι ρατσιστής ο κόσμος εδώ το χωριό, είμαι κατηγορηματικός σε αυτό, ουδέποτε όλα αυτά τα έκανε η αγανάκτηση, παιδιά, με λίγα λόγια. Η αγανάκτηση που μας έφερε σε αυτό το ρυθμό.
So what's the solution?
Λύση. Δεν έχω λύση, δεν μπορώ να δώσω εγώ τη λύση, παιδιά, σε αυτό το πράγμα. Δεν μπορεί να βάζουν εμάς ένα χωριό να δώσουμε λύση. Δεν είναι η Ελλάδα η αποθήκη των ψυχών.
Boats have been arriving here far before the world took note in 2015. Statis is a fisherman living in the tiny village of Sikamnya. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for his role in rescuing countless people at sea during the 2015 influx. It's a nomination that leaves him unfazed. He says it's the person or people who finds a humane and working solution for this crisis that should receive such an award.
Η πρώτη φορά που είδα εγώ να βγει η βάρκα με πρόσφυγες ήταν το 1996. Εδώ στην Παναγιά, εκεί πίσω που έχει μια ράμπα που τραβάμε τις βάρκες, είχαν βγει δύο ξύλινα. Ήταν τότε από το Κούρδι αυτή. Δηλαδή από το 1996 και μετά βλέπαμε. Δεν είναι δηλαδή τώρα το 15 και το 16, τώρα το συνεχίζεται. Συνέχεια βγαίνουν. Λέω, αυτοί ήταν Κούρδοι πριν πόσα χρόνια, 25. Όταν ξεκίνησε το πολύ, δηλαδή βγαίναν 2.000 άτομα τη μέρα και παραπάνω. Η αρχή νομίζω ότι ήταν ένα σοκ για τον κόσμο. Να σηκώνεσαι το πρωί εδώ και να βλέπεις, είμαστε 100 άτομα και να βλέπεις την πλατεία μέσα 2.000 άτομα. Νομίζω ότι με τον καιρό όμως έγινε συνήθεια γι' αυτό.
You go fishing every day, you see the waters. Describe to me what it's like now. You have Frontex, like what is the situation on the waters?
Τώρα που βγαίνει μια βάρκα στο τόσο, ελικόπτερα, αεροπλάνα, σκάφη μεγάλα, πολεμικά, δεν μπορείς να βγεις από τα σκάφη που έχει, αυτά που φυλάγει τα σύνορα, ρε παιδί μου, που σου λέω χρειαζόταν τότε για να μην πνιγείται ο κόσμος. Τώρα μα ξεκινήσει καμιά βάρκα. Και είναι τυχερή και προλάβει και περάσουμε στα ελληνικά. Είναι αναγκασμένος η Ελλάδα να τον πάρεις και να το φέρεις εδώ. Αν είναι μέσα στην Τουρκία, τον αρπάει Τούρκος, άιντε πίσω. Την άλλη μέρα ξαναπληρώνει πάλι, να βρει το διακινητή, να ξαναβγεί και μπορεί να τον πιάσει 5-6 φορές να γυρίσει πίσω. Και γυρίζει και βάρκες πίσω. Σε είπα, τον βρεις στα μεσόνερα, θα τον πάρεις. Δικό είναι στα δικά σου, είναι 10 μέτρα με σε εσένα, είναι 10 μέτρα σε μένα. Αυτό γίνεται. Δηλαδή τώρα για να βγεις, φαρδία μεγάλη πρέπει να είσαι.
Πάμε!
Mohammadi came ashore just over 18 years ago. He's from Afghanistan and is a rare example of someone who has managed to integrate somewhat into Greek society here. We wanted to get his sense as someone who understood and was familiar with both worlds, that of the refugee and that of the islander.
This is the zero point of my life in Greece. Wow. This is where my life started in Greece. And this is the first camp in Lesbos, 2002. 7 August 2002, I arrived here. I stayed here for 3 months and 5 days. Everybody who is coming have an idea about how he wants to live, where he wants to live. My idea of living or coming was to save myself and then be part of a society, not to be isolated, not to be different from the society. As far as there was no integration program, no facilities, no help being provided for me, for the refugees to integrate themselves to the society, so I started communication with the locals, and I'm very lucky that the first family I met in Lesbos who helped me, and also they were a way of my integration to the Greek society, learning Greek history, and they helped me to stand on my own feet.
What is the atmosphere like now? Has it changed?
People were not against the refugee. They are not against the refugee. But the wrong policies putting pressure on the society, putting a heavy load on locals who does not have any fault, who are not against the refugee. How long? How much power you have, how much ability you have to be supportive?
What was your most difficult moment here in this place?
Being kept in a surrounded wall. Being away from the locals, being away from the society. Human being was not created to be isolated, to be kept far away from the society. Being a refugee is not a crime. These governments are committing crime, creating wars, pushing me to be a refugee. Nobody likes to be away from his motherland. You know why? Because you don't have dignity when you're there. It thinks you as a burden. They believe that you're a burden. You're here to steal the job. You're here to kill. You're here to steal their goods. No, we're not. No, I didn't came to steal. I came to survive. I came to live. But why the moment I enter, you keep me away from that. My first right is to have access to education. And you keep me in this prison. This was the most difficult thing. You run away to save your life, to have dignity. But when you arrive there where you hoped to have dignity and to be behaved as a human being, you're being behaved worse than animal. And you're being deprived from your right. World has changed. World has changed. We have to accept. European must accept. If you're creating problems, you will have refugees. You cannot bombard my house and expect me to stay there. No. Of course I will try to escape. This is the same human nature. I came, I escaped war. I wanted to have my life. But when I enter, you close the door, you put me on a closed door. And when I want to enter the society, you don't give me a way to enter the society. You don't turn on a light.
There has been one thought, one message that has come up in every interview we've done. Everyone refers to one reason behind it all. Whether it's the growing frustrations of the islanders, their concerns felt neglected, their presence here forgotten, their opinions often judged, or whether it's the conditions that these refugees and asylum seekers have to face, lengthy, confusing asylum processes, a seemingly endless stay on an island in extremely difficult conditions. And even if or once granted asylum, their journey remains full of challenges. All have blamed the failure of political policies, the failure of the UN, of the EU, of individual countries. Seemingly preferring to ignore or outsource a problem that, as we've been told time and time again, is here to stay.